This morning, we are in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, and we're going to start with the 10th verse. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all his might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and all the blessings you have given us. And Lord, the great honor and privilege that you've given us, Lord, that we get to live in this country. And Lord, we especially ask you'll be with our leaders and just all the things that are going on, Lord. We know you're in control, and just ask that you give grace where needed and guidance so our country can continue to be safe. Lord, just ask that you'll be with us, that we may be better servants for you and represent you, telling others about Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to watch and care over us. Forgive me the sins I've committed against thee. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. The title of my message this morning is The Strength We Need to Walk Worthy of the Lord. And we find here in Colossians that it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. That's what the Lord wants us to do, to walk worthy, to be worthy of his love, to be worthy of his forgiveness, to be worthy of all that he has done for us. I can't earn it, but once I accept it by grace, accept his gift, then God expects me to love him and to serve him and to be obedient to him. And that's the struggle, our will versus God's will. We're going to be talking about that a little bit this morning. But that we might worthy of the Lord, as we walk worthy, so this is what God wants of us, to be worthy unto all pleasing. The only way one of the ways I know to describe this is as a parent. That as a parent, I know that when my children did well, it was pleasing. When they didn't do well, it was unpleasing. As a child, I experienced this also. I knew when I was pleasing my parents. I knew when I was being obedient. And I knew when I was being unpleasing to my parents. There was times when I wouldn't tell my parents what I did, because I knew if I did, right, what I did to tell them would be unpleasing to them. And so the same thing is true with God, that we know what God expects of us. The Word of God tells us what he expects of us, what walking worthy looks like, what pleasing the Lord looks like. And so we find here in verse 10, it's describing the what we are to be doing in serving the Lord. And so we're to walk worthy, we're to do things that are pleasing and obedient to the Lord. We're to be fruitful in every good work, the things that God has gives us to do, whether that be church work, whether that be teaching Sunday school, whether that whatever that is in attendance. But in every good work, God is, even when I go to work, when I was working, that was something I was to do to the best of my ability and continue to represent the Lord. And as I did, there was opportunity to be fruitful and to tell others about Jesus and to represent him in everything we do, every day and minute of our life, and increasing in knowledge. Hopefully, as we are being obedient to God, doing the what, walking worthy, pleasing the Lord, being obedient in the things that God has called us to do in the work. Ephesians 4 chapter, the Apostle Paul calls that your vocation, walking worthy of your vocation, the gifts and things that God has given you to do. Increasing in knowledge of the Lord. How do we do that, right? That in order to walk worthy, pleasing, every good work, we need to know things about the Lord, and we can do that from the Word of God. Here's the thing. I've often said the what isn't the difficulty for us as children of God. It's the how to perform it. If I asked any of you, is it important that we walk worthy, acceptable to the Lord, or that we should be pleasing and obedient to the Lord, or that we should be representing the Lord in everything we do, and that we should be learning more and more about the Lord, anyone not know that? Those are pretty basic things. We know that we should be doing that, but here is the thing. This is what we should be doing, but it's the how to perform it. If I asked you how you did this week, this month, this year, in walking worthy, in being pleasing to the Lord, being fruitful, and what does it say there? In every, oh boy. Can we just say in some? Once in a while? 50% of the time? In everything we do, this is what we are to be doing and increasing our knowledge. Have you learned anything about the Lord this week? Have you opened the Word of God, done some studying? We know that we should, but it's the how to perform it that we as children of God, I think, struggle with more than the what. And how we do that is with the Lord's help. And verse 11 talks about that. Strengthened with all his might, according to his glorious power. And so, I know this week I had plans to do a certain study, and I had some things that was going on, and I said, I'm too tired. And so I didn't do it. But the Lord will strengthen us. The Lord will help us in all that we do. He has this incredible strength that we can tap into, his glorious power that we can't even describe how it works. And then that will lead us, when we do walk worthy, all pleasing, every good work, learn more about the Lord, unto all patience, long suffering with joyfulness. Oh, that my Christian walk would look like Colossians 1, verse 10 and verse 11. And I think the key to my Christian walk looking like that is the first part of verse 11, relying on the strength that is in the Lord according to his glorious power. So we're going to talk about the strength that we need to walk worthy, the how to do it. We know the what often, it's the how to perform it. So one of the things that I do from time to time as I am studying different things is I do a word study. every Hebrew word in the Old Testament is written in Strong's, and every Greek word in the New Testament is written in Strong's. Used to do word study, you'd open Strong's and you'd have to study it out, and then there's different variations. Well, I did a word study. I actually was doing a different study and came across it, and I started doing a word study on strength, just the word strength. And the word strength occurs some 232 times in the Bible, in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Now, if you do that in the old study, take a concordance, you'd have to count all those and figure them all up. Now we have computers, right? You can just type it into a Bible program, and it tells you automatically how many there are, where they are, what the Hebrew word or the Greek word is, what the definition. So it's a whole lot easier to do them now than it used to be. But as I did this, it's kind of interesting that as I looked at it, the kind of strength that we have versus the kind of strength that the Lord has. And so often we as children of God try to do things in our own strength. And that gets us in trouble every time. I remember, and I think this is probably one of the best ways to illustrate it, at least the one that comes to mind for me. I remember when I first started preaching, I was 17 years old, and I prayed, I studied, I was asked to preach my first sermon, Romans 8, and I said, we're going to do the whole chapter, and literally the pastor's wife says, oh, no, because there's lots of verses, right? I was done in 10 minutes, right? So when I first started preaching, I had to rely on the Lord. I had to do a lot of studying. I had to ask a lot of questions. And yes, I got to where I could preach a little bit longer. And what was really fascinating is that the more I studied, the more I prayed, the more I relied on the Lord, I got better. And the thing that's kind of fascinating is that first 5 years, I would have to study, I don't know, maybe 40 hours to come up with one lesson, one sermon. And so when you're pastoring, I started pastoring at the age of 20, there's how many services a week? Three at the time. We did Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was studying all the time, and I was learning a lot because I was praying and relying on the Lord to help me with what I needed. Now today, if somebody asked me to preach, would I have to study 40 hours to do it? If somebody asked me to preach, gave me a topic, I could probably do a sermon. But what's the problem with that? I'm relying on me and what I know, right? And it's kind of dangerous for us as children of God that as we first start to walk, we have to rely on the Lord because we don't know anything. We have to get others to help us. We have to do a lot of studying. If we don't, then we don't get very far. We don't grow very much. The church at Corinth had this problem, and Paul said, you're a bunch of babes in the Lord. He called them babies. You should be teaching others, and yet you haven't learned the things that you need. One of the things that we as children of God need to learn is trusting in the Lord. We talk about David and David's big mistake. We always come up with Bathsheba, right? But one of the biggest mistakes that David made in his life was when he didn't rely on the Lord. There was an enemy out there, and I don't remember which nation it was, and David decided that he was going to go to war, and he says, okay, go and number all my soldiers. Go and tell me how many I have. And so they did it, and David went to war, and you know what? They lost. You know why? God said, because you were relying on your own strength, you were relying on your own knowledge, on your own ability. And God said, if you would have just relied on me, right? Do we know the story of Gideon? How many soldiers did he end up with? You remember? 300, right? He had a huge army. And you'd look at that army and you'd think, wow, they could destroy whoever. But God destroyed the enemy with 300. And the reason he did that is so that they would know it was the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the might of the Lord, and not their own resources. Sometimes we forget our greatest resource is the Lord. What did it say there? The strength with the Almighty and his glorious power. And so often we forget about that. And so this morning we're going to look at, so of the 232, I'm not going to look at 232, okay? I picked 12. And I'm not sure we're going to get through the 12. We'll probably try to get through six today, or however many we get through. But I really think that one of the things that we as children of God, it's not the what, it's the how. And the how is his strength, his power. David, when he relied on himself, they lost. When he relied on the Lord, the victory was always given to them. And so we need to learn to trust in the Lord and the things that we do. So the very first one I want us to talk about is God's strength is a lasting strength. Blessed, this is Psalms 84, verse 5. This psalm is really kind of interesting because it talks about our walking to be in God's glory, to be in God's presence, and it's talking about there to be in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than anywhere else is one of the verses that it talks about, and it's talking about this pilgrimage, this walking, and as we are walking on this pilgrimage, we sometimes come upon valleys that are easy, and then we come up on mountains and things that that are difficult. But we travel from strength to strength until we arrive in God's presence. When Jocelyn, I think, was in sixth grade, they were studying the Oregon Trail. I think they still do that sometimes around that grade. It got me curious, and I did a whole bunch of reading about people on the Oregon Trail. Our church comes from the West Union Church that was started from people who came across in 1843 on the Oregon Trail. And it's kind of interesting that as they would travel, they would need to go from a place of strength, usually water and food. They would travel anywhere from 10 miles to 20 miles a day. I need Chuck, my historian, to help me out with those, but I know I'm pretty close. And if they didn't have water, they would get weak, right? They needed resources. What is our greatest resource if it's not the Lord? And this psalm is about using our resource. And it says, blessed is the man whose strength, our resource, our strength comes from God. Whose heart are the ways of them who passeth through the valley, maketh to the well. A resource. The rain fills the pools, and we go from resource to resource. And in this Psalms, it says this, we go from strength to strength, from God's resource to God's resource. Now, are there difficulties in our life sometimes, and it looks like we're not always in an oasis? Absolutely. And we travel through that, and the Lord will bless us. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before the Lord. The thing that's fascinating about this, too often in our Christian life, instead of going from resource to resource that the Lord provides us, or as it says here, from strength to strength, too often I think we go from weakness to weakness, from difficulty, from being in a parched desert to another parched desert. And we get so dry, and we get so where we have no strength in ourselves, and we forget the how, right? We know the what we're to do. We forget the how, relying on the Lord. Another way we can talk about it is faith, belief, putting our trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. How do we do that if it's not by faith and our trust in the Lord? Going from strength to strength instead of weakness to weakness. The second thing that I want us to consider this morning is that God's strength is an imparted strength. In 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, verse 9, it says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. So it says that God is looking for people in the whole earth to show himself strong on their behalf. Now, the setting of this story is that King Asa has decided that in going to war, he needs to rely on others. He's not going to rely on the Lord. So if you go to 2 Chronicles verse 7, which is just above this, because thou hast made an alliance, because you, the king here, has decided that the king of Syria is going to help you and not going to rely on the strength of the Lord. Now, they had won all kinds of battles, but now he's worried. He sees this army out there, and he feels like he needs to make a pact with Syria, was an enemy of Israel. Therefore, as the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand and now has turned against them, against them. And so it's kind of interesting that their weakness, instead of trusting in the Lord, having faith in the Lord, they put their trust, their faith in something earthly. And I think sometimes our weakness causes us to have our weakness and our weak faith causes us to have a poor connection with God. It's kind of interesting that this verse talks about the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So the Lord is looking for people, right, who are faithful, who are perfect, not perfect in that we never sin because we always sin, or we often sin, not always, but often sin. But is our trust and our faith in him, are we trying to be, to live for him every day and to be more mature and to grow in the Lord? And it says that the Lord is looking for people that he wants to help. He wants to make stronger. And sometimes we make treaties, pacts with the world instead of trusting in the Lord. And it gets us into all kinds of trouble because we do foolishly instead of being faithful and obedient to the Lord. And the third one I want us to consider this morning is that God's strength is a joyful strength. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. So they find the Word of God, some scrolls. And we talked about scrolls, Elena and Wyatt. We talked about books in the Old Testament. They weren't like this, were they? They were scrolls, huh? They looked totally different. And so they found a scroll and they start reading it. And Israel starts mourning. They start being very unhappy because they realize they have been disobedient to God and they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. So they repent and they continue to feel bad and to beat themselves up, even though they repented, God forgave them. And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. They had been disobedient to God. The Holy Spirit pointed that out to them. They confessed it. And yet they continued to be sorry for what they had done to disappoint God, to be disobedient with God. I think sometimes we as children of God are like Israel. We realize that we have sinned. We've asked God's forgiveness. He is willing to forgive us. Yet we struggle with forgiving ourselves. We feel guilty and we're paralyzed to move forward because we see ourselves as failures. And yes, we have failed. We've come short. We're all going to sin. And that's what John says in 1 John chapter 2, first of all, don't sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And if God can forgive us, who are we not to forgive ourselves so that we can move on and grow in the Lord? And it says, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Stop feeling guilty. If God has forgiven you, we need to learn to forgive ourselves. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember what David said in Psalms 51? After he had sinned with Bathsheba and he had messed up his life, he had messed up her life. He ended up killing her husband, right? Because of this sin, there's all kinds of results in his family that end up happening. His children, some of his sons and daughters, there's all kinds of things that can be attributed to David, the mess that David made of his life and being disobedient to God in committing adultery with Bathsheba. And then Nathan comes and he tells him that you're the man, that you have sinned against God. And David is repentant. And one of the things he says is, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He struggled with getting forgiveness, not getting forgiveness, but accepting the forgiveness that God gave him. And he said, Lord, I'm forgiven. You've forgiven me. Psalms 32, Psalms 51 talks about how that he prays and the Lord forgives him. And yet he struggles with getting back to a point to where he has joy in his relationship with the Lord. Peter is a great example of that. Peter thought he would never betray God. Jesus took the disciples and so who do men say that I am? And all kinds of answers, John the Baptist, Isaiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. And Jesus says, who do you think that I am? And Peter says, you're the Son of God. And when Jesus says, I have to go to Jerusalem, and they tried to talk him out of it, and Peter says, okay, I go with you. If you die, I will die. And yet, when Jesus is arrested, Jesus tells Peter before that you're going to deny me three times. Peter says, Lord, you don't know me, Lord, right? Sometimes God knows us better than we know ourselves, right? And so Peter goes and they say, you are like this guy. You are from Galilee. I saw you there. There's three different kinds of accusations and three times I don't know him. The last time it said he started swearing, take the Lord's name in vain, wasn't like Peter in any of those, but he so much wanted to distance himself, right? And then when the cock crowed and he realized, he went out and he wept bitterly. He was disgusted, upset, mad after he'd been convicted. He repented. And yet Peter wasn't the same afterwards, was he? He struggled and Jesus confronted him. If you love me, act like it, right? Three times, if you love me. And Peter really struggled with that. And then we know he goes fishing and that whole story. We struggle. The joy of the Lord. Sometimes we get frustrated that there's little things that we can't overcome, and so we just kind of give up, and we ask the Lord's forgiveness, but we can't forgive ourselves. And that is one of the most important things, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But if we can't forgive ourselves, if we can't move beyond the grief and the sorrow of our sin, we're going to struggle on and on. In Nehemiah 8:9, Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites said unto the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Mourn not, weep not, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law because they were disobedient. It's good to be convicted. It's good to ask forgiveness of our sins. And sometimes I've had people say, Brother Harlan, you don't know what I did. You're right. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. But here's the thing. God knows what you did. Jesus knows what you did. And Jesus died for all sin. Your least sin, I don't think God keeps track of the worst and the or the least and the worst. A sin is a sin. But even the worst sin, and we think of murder and David and adultery, and we think of all those that are huge betrayals. Sometimes we struggle because we fail. But here's the thing. We are all sinners. Paul struggled. We look at Paul's life. One of the things he struggled with, he said, I am the chief. I am the very worst of sinners because I persecuted the church. He hated that part of his life. He consented. He gave approval for Stephen to be killed. And yet, Paul had to accept the forgiveness of the Lord, but he also had to forgive himself to be able to move on so the Lord could use him. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. We can't tap into the strength of the Lord if we can't forgive ourselves and move on in our Christian walk. The fourth thing I want us to consider is God's strength is a timely strength. God is our refuge. God is our strength. I like that. Just a statement. But in order to him to be our refuge, in order to be our strength, we have to trust him. We have to go to him. We have to rely on him. But here's the part I want you to get. A very present help in trouble. a very timely, a very, when I need God's help, he's not hard to find. When I need God's help, you know, I was doing something the other day at the house, and everybody, you know, we had our grandkids there, and we had them there, and Joyce was there, and I was doing something in the garage, and I was lifting something, and it was going to be more than I could do, and I turned around to get help. I think they probably knew I was going to need help, so they disappeared. But when I need help the most, the Lord is there. He doesn't disappear on us. He's always there, a very present help in trouble. When I find myself in difficulty, he is our refuge. All I have to do is turn to him, and he will help me in whatever the issue is. He is a prayer away. All I have to do is have trust, faith, and belief in the fact that he will do that. The fifth thing I want to consider is God's strength is a tranquil strength, or a calming strength. Isaiah 35 verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. Actually, I have a different translation we're going to read it in. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. For this is what the Master, this is what the Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. If ye repent and patiently waited for me, you would be delivered. The problem is, we aren't very patient. If ye calmly trust in me, you will find strength. So often we are fluttering about. We can't be calm and patient. But you were unwilling. We find that's Israel's struggle, that they wouldn't put their confidence in the Lord, calmly trust in him, and he would take care of them. They continued to complain about the Lord when he brought them out of Egypt. You brought us out here to die. He killed the Egyptians, the 10 plagues. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. And yet they still couldn't calmly trust in the Lord. Sometimes we are like that. We're like the children of Israel, and we struggle to be patient and calm in relying on the Lord. And then the last one we're going to talk about this morning is God's strength is a reviving strength. We've been singing the song at the beginning of our service, Revive Us Again. And how appropriate that is, that we need to continually be revived and rekindled and renewed and recharged in our relationship with the Lord. He giveth power to the faint. I was going to do a picture, and I pulled it. It was a guy who was pushing a rock up a hill. Would you get tired trying to do the same thing? Sometimes we get tired in serving the Lord. We get tired in doing the same thing. He will strengthen us. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. When we are unable, he is unable. Or, I'm sorry, when we are unable, he is able. That's what I'm trying to say. And that he will help us and give us strength and encourage us when we trust in the Lord. I'm going to end with that. A pianist and song leader will come forward. Let's all stand. What page do you have for us this morning?